Word of God, please turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. The book of 1 Timothy chapter number 2. We've been studying through the book of 1 Timothy together, and we've come to chapter 2 tonight. And what a book it is. What a great Sunday night crowd. God bless you for doing the right thing. Being and desiring to be in God's house. Amen. That's a blessing, and we appreciate you doing the right thing and being here. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. It's in there, folks. Keep turning. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Skip down to verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I want to preach to you tonight on one word, and that one word is prayer. That one word is prayer. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you as we have come to this chapter in this glorious book. I thank you, Lord, that you have so many practical things for us to learn, and I pray that you help this to be a profitable time. May you burden our hearts in this matter of prayer. May thy will be done. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts and change lives, draw us close to your side. Please make it worth our time being here. Forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel in Jesus' name. Amen. In this letter, Paul, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, is instructing and encouraging young Timothy in a society, now get this, in a society that was secular and opposed to the preaching of salvation through Jesus Christ, and opposed also to the lifestyle of holiness. Sound familiar? And even today, we are living in a society that is becoming more and more anti-Christian. A society that says right is wrong and wrong is right, and a society where people live as if God were dead or irrelevant. However, before us in this text, we see one area in a Christian's life where he or she can make a difference no matter what's going on in the society around them. And that area is the area of prayer. Now, folks, listen to me. We are eating, we're drinking, we're sleeping, we're rising, we're breathing God's air, we're seeing God's sun, we're walking on God's earth, enjoying God's grace and God's mercy, and yet many never take time to talk to God in prayer. Now, for the most part, churches are busy doing visible work like building buildings and holding meetings and knocking on doors. While all those things are good, they're not wrong. But what we need is to spend more time in the prayer closet, communing with our God. Now, it's this matter of prayer that we want to consider in this message. And before we consider some particulars about prayer in these verses, let me remind you that, first of all, God does hear prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 65, 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. 1 Peter 3, 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. He hears prayer. Number two, he answers prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 99, 6, Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. Jeremiah 33, 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm telling you, prayer is a godly thing. God hears prayer. God answers prayer. And I'm going to give you 8 particulars tonight about prayer, so I need to dig in. Number one, the first thing we notice about prayer in our text, first of all, is the priority of it. We see this in verse number 1. Look at it. I exhort therefore that, look at it, first of all. First of all. You know, it's important that we see the priority placed upon prayer in this verse. It's interesting that as we go through life, things coming and going, good days and bad days, ups and downs, triumph and trouble, many times we do not pray, or we do other things first and then we pray later. That's not God's will. God's will is that the first thing we do is to pray and talk to God about it. The priority of it. You know, there's a song that says, "Ere left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" It goes on to say this, "In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. Now I ask you tonight, is prayer the first thing you do? That's convicting, isn't it? Is priority in your life, is it prayer, number one? The Apostle Paul, right here under the inspiration of Scripture, says, let me tell you the first thing you're to do. First of all, let prayers, let supplications, let intercessions, let giving of thanks be among you. That's the priority of it. Number two, let's look at the parts of prayer. In verse number one, the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now the Lord draws our attention to different parts of praying that He wants us to be engaged in. There's four specific parts. First of all, He mentions supplications. That's one part of it. Now supplications is prayer for God's help in time of need. What supplications are, it is recognizing our own insufficiency and our need for God's intervention. You know why some people don't pray? They think they don't need God. But you know what supplications is? Supplications, what that is recognizing I can't do this on my own. I need God's help. If God doesn't help me, I'm a goner. And you start supplicating and asking God for His favor, asking God for His help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you listening to this? We need the Lord's help tonight. Now you do and I do too. And supplication is acknowledging this and asking for it. For instance, if you want the best marriage God has for you, you need God's help in your home. So you ought to start supplicating and begging God, realizing I can't do this on my own. This is a need in my life. I've got to have the help of God. And that is what supplications is about. The second part of prayer is not only supplications, but number two, it just simply says prayers. Now, this carries the idea that we make an appeal, just some kind of an appeal to God. It could also mean that we worship Him, and here we go again, and we spend time at His feet. Now this morning we've already considered in Luke chapter 10 verses 38 to 42 when Jesus is in the home of Mary and Martha. And Martha is serving and cumbered about with much serving and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha comes in perturbed and says, Lord, don't you care? I'm trying to serve. She's just sitting there wasting her time. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're coming about with much serving, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part. When we're talking about prayers here, it carries the idea of just spending time with Him. You know why some people don't pray? They think they don't have time to pray. Anybody know what I'm talking about out there tonight? Are you busy? Are you busy? Here we go. But don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry to pray. Spend time in supplications. Spend time in prayers. Number three, the third part, is intercessions. These are different parts of prayer. This carries the idea of going to God on behalf of someone else. Whether it be for their salvation or some other need, we are to spend time not only supplicating, saying, God, I have a need, I need your help, not only prayer, spending time at His feet, but then saying, there's a person that has a need, I will go to God for them. You know what we need around Buffalo Ridge? People who pray for one another. You know, the Bible tells us, don't turn to it for time's sake, but back in the book of Numbers chapter 21, the Bible says this, beginning with verse number 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. Now get this. And Moses prayed for the people. He prayed for the people. Let me ask you a question. Are you spending some time every day of your life praying for other people? I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. I trust that I am on your prayer list every day of your life. If I'm not, put me on it. That's a direct order. Amen.
I need your prayers. My wife, our children, we need your prayers. But I want you to know something, folks, that if you're on our church membership, by the way, if you're not, get on it. Amen. If you're on our church membership, I'm taking the membership roll and I'm praying down through it. Some of you already had a phone call from me or from one of the secretaries. God willing, if you're on our rolls now, one of these days you're gonna get a call from and saying, listen, the pastor just wanted me to let you know that he's thinking about you today. He's praying for you today. Have y'all ever had one of those phone calls? Do you raise your hand? Look at that. You listening to me? You say, I haven't had that yet. I haven't gotten your name yet. Amen. But I'm moving to it if you're on our church roll. If not, get on it or you're not on my prayer list. Amen. No, I'm just kidding with you. But if you're not on our list and you want your name on my prayer list, come see me and say, listen, I'm not on that roll yet, but here's my name. Would you pray for me? And I promise you, I'll pray for you. Everybody understand what I just said? I want you to know I'm a pastor that's going to try to pray for you. And I trust that you're praying for me. We need to get a hold of God on behalf of other people. Amen. That's interceding. That's intercessions. That right there is part of prayer. These parts are supplications, prayers, intercessions. Then the fourth part is giving of thanks. This carries the idea exactly what it says. It carries the idea of thanking the Lord for his goodness to us and others. You know, John R. Rice, God bless him, he's with the Lord. And he had a book called Prayers, Asking and Receiving. And that's true. That's true. But I submit to you that prayer is not just asking and receiving. It's not. Prayer is also giving thanks. Prayer is also saying, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Listen, God's been good to us, hasn't he? And we ought to spend time giving thanks. Giving thanks. That's all prayer right there. Number one, the priority of it. First of all, prayers. Second of all, the parts, supplications. Realizing you have a need, you're not sufficient to meet that need, you've got to have God step in. Prayers, that carries the idea of spending time at his feet, not getting in a hurry, saying, I need this. Intercessions, that person has a need, I will pray for them. I will talk to God for them. Number four, giving of thanks, realizing that God's been good to you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:6, with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You know, we should spend time in prayer simply saying thank you. You know, one of the things that I can't stand it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm thinking of anybody personally here, but please don't do this, ever do this, please. Is when somebody does something for you and you do not say thank you for it. That's so rude. That is rude. Do you understand? We ought to be grateful. We ought to be thanking people for what they do for us. Hey, if you come to me and say, I'm praying for you, if I don't say thank you, slap me across the face. Some of you hope I won't say thank you, don't you? Because you've been wanting to do that for a long time, haven't you? Sure. Did I just say that? I retract that. What am I saying? I'm saying we ought to be a thankful people, right? Sure. What do you think it must do to God if all you do when you pray is ask him for things? But you never thank him. Now my boy's sitting right here. He looks sharp, sitting up straight, smiling at me. It's good. Do you understand what it does whenever this boy, and he's doing much better about this, when this boy comes to me or his mother and he says, Mommy, Daddy, says, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for that. How many of your parents realize, how many of you parents, not your parents, but you parents, how many of you parents? I'm refraining what to say right there. You understand, right? How many of you parents have children that just come and ask you for stuff all the time? Be honest. Oh, some of you, come on, folks. You all, there's more hands, good. Right. Let me ask you a question. What does it make you feel like if they always just trying to get what they can get out of you, but they never one time say thank you? Are you listening to me? If Judson right here, we're good to him, we try to give him something. If he doesn't say thank you for something, you know what we need to do? We take it back. Would you like that? I didn't think so. But all I'm saying to you, are you listening to me? Why is it that we expect people to say thank you to us, but we never thank God for what He's done for us? We can't do for other people what God's already done for us. And one of the parts of prayer here is giving of thanks, being a thankful person, just saying thank you to God. That's the parts of prayer. Number three, we notice the people to pray for. In verses 1 and 2, look at it. I exhort therefore the first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Then he gives us a particular group for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. When we think about who it is that God wants prayed for, in other words, who is it that He wants people to pray for? He wants all men to be prayed for. But then he goes a step further, and since he dwells here, I'm going to dwell here. He turns our attention onto a specific group of people that God's children should be in prayer for. He mentions kings and all those in authority. Now, it's interesting here that at this time that the book of 1 Timothy is literally being written, at this time, Nero was in charge. Now, who was Nero? Nero was a man who had his own mother and his brothers killed to secure his own throne. Nero was a man who took Christians and dipped their bodies in some kind of wax. Then he would set them on fire and use the light of their burning bodies to eat his dinner by. Nero. And the Holy Spirit, inspiring Paul, says, even Nero, who's in charge, I want somebody to pray for him. Pray for him. The kings at this time were for the most part heathen and even enemies to the Christian faith. And even though these kings were ungodly, Christians are commanded to pray for them. See, get this point. Don't miss this. Many complain when it's like this, but few pray. Did you hear what I just said? Even in America, things aren't going God's way. Anybody with any common sense can see that. Abortion is ungodly. Excuse me. Homosexuality is ungodly. Amen. It is. By the way, that's not a hate crime. That is a love crime, because it's a sin against God Almighty. That's sin, folks. That's not right. This country is turning its back on God. But my question to you is this. Have you been on the phone talking about how bad thing is? Or have you been on your knees begging God to bless those in authority? It's easy to complain. But have you been praying for the kings? Have you been praying for those in authority? On top of this, I'd like to say this. That all of those in authority could be applied to this church. All those in authority could be applied to your home. For instance, you ought to be praying for this pastor. God's placed me in authority, and I don't take that lightly. I'm not a king by any stretch of the imagination, but I am placed in authority by God. You ought to be praying for your Sunday school teacher. That's a place of authority. You ought to be praying for the deacons. That's a place of authority. You ought to be praying for your boss. That's a place of authority. And all I'm saying, listen, young people, teenagers, you ought to be praying for your parents, because they're your authority. And God says you ought to pray for all those in authority. That's the people to pray for. Number four, not only the parts, the priority of the people, but number four, the purpose of prayer. We see this in verse number two. It says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now in this, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. You know, the word quiet here means free from outward disturbance. The word peaceable means free from inner turmoil. So quietness is peace from the outside. Peaceable is peace from the inside. And I believe, now listen to that, I believe the direct interpretation of this means that as we pray for the kings and others in authority, like the government, God can work in such a way that God's children can live a life of godliness, that's before God, and honesty, that's before man, without being harassed by persecution. I believe that's the direct interpretation. But I want to apply it by saying this. I also submit to you that God is teaching us that no matter what's going on around you, as you pray, you can have quietness in your heart. As you pray, you can have peace
ruling in your heart and ruling in your life. And no matter what's going on around you, you can do right before God. You can do honesty before a man. And you can live a peaceful and quiet life before the Lord God of heaven. Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. The only way you can really have peace and quiet in your heart is if you're spending time in prayer every day of your life. That's the only way you're going to get it. Now, that's on top of the Bible, you understand. But if you say, listen, I'm not going to pray about anything. I'm not going to talk to God. I'm just going to spend maybe a minute or two, and then I'm going to go on about my way. And that's why your life's turmoil. That's why your life is hectic. That's why your life is just completely a rat race. And good night, you don't know what's coming, what's going. You're being torn in 4,000 directions. And it all comes back to this. If you will pray, if you will intercede, if you will give thanks, if you will supplicate, God will give you quietness and God will give you peace that you're searching for. This is the purpose of prayer. You've heard that song that goes, far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than some. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. And it goes, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. We've noticed tonight, we've noticed the priority of prayer, first of all. We've noticed the parts of prayer, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. We've noticed the people to pray for, all men, but specifically kings and those who are in authority. We've noticed the purpose of prayer, that we may have quietness and peace. Number five, we look at the provoking to prayer. In verse number 3, look at it. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We're told here how this kind of praying is good and acceptable in the sight of God. In other words, this pleases the Lord. Let me remind you that life is about pleasing God, not self. Life is about pleasing Him, not me. And here we see one of those things that pleases our Lord. In other words, we are being provoked. You see this? He's provoking us. He's encouraging us. He's stimulating us to pray by the fact that this is something that pleases Him. Do you see that? He's provoking us to say, this is something that pleases me. And since it pleases me, you ought to do it. Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is His delight. Get this thought. It thrills our God to hear from His children. Now think about that. Have you all have children grown up obviously they'd be grown up, I guess, that live away from here? Would you raise your hand? You have children that live away from here who are still living, okay? Yes. Let me ask you a question. Do you look forward to when they call you? Now, I hope they're calling you. Let's say that they are. Do you look forward to that? Is there anybody here that says, I'll tell you one thing, I wish that boy of mine stopped calling me. He lives in the state of Washington, but I good night. He needs just to cut the cord tonight. No. If your children that live away from here call you, you drop everything you do to listen to them, don't you? Am I right or wrong? You'll drop everything I don't care what you're doing. My boy's on the phone, I'll be right there. By the way, if you don't do that, you've got other problems. Come see me for counseling. Amen. It's common sense that God is trying to show you something. What do you think it does to the heart of God when His children take time out of their busy schedule to say, Lord, I want to talk to you a minute. Are you listening? Every time you do that, you have God's undivided attention. Not only God can do that, because if everybody's praying at once, everybody's got His undivided attention. Isn't that amazing? Everybody. He's everywhere at all times. And all I'm saying to you folks is that God is trying to provoke us here to something. He's saying this. He's saying, you know, there's something I want to let you in on. There's something that pleases me.
God's saying there's something I like. And what I like is when you talk to me. Isn't that precious?
That's precious. That's the provoking to it.
Then number six. Good night, I'm plowing right along. Isn't that good? Number six, we notice the place of prayer. Look at verse number eight. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Everywhere. What does everywhere mean? Amen, you got it. Some of you all know Greek, don't you? Everywhere means everywhere. The point here is that we can and should pray everywhere we go. Our God is omnipresent. Therefore, the place of prayer can be anywhere and everywhere. Now, think about that. Now, there are places you can go in this world or that your children can go that they cannot get in touch with you. It's impossible. Now, it's easier today because of internet and email. But there's some place in this world that if your child goes or if you go, you are cut off from society. Listen, there's nobody going to hear from you. You're not going to hear from them. That's impossible with God. It doesn't matter where you are, you can pray. You can pray anywhere. And the Bible says here, God says, here's where I want you to pray. Everywhere I want you to pray. Everywhere. You're listening to me? That means everywhere, folks. That means when you're driving down the road, turn the radio off. Talk to God. You know, some of my greatest prayer times is when I'm driving down the road. And I'll take the radio and turn it off. And I'll talk to God. Driving. Now you keep your mind on the road, you understand. Looking where you're going. It's interesting to me how many of these young people text each other and how many they do it, how many times they do it throughout the day. You listening? But they're too busy to talk to God. Hogwash. God help them. Amen. You listening? You are. I know you are. Why don't you talk to God everywhere you go? Before you eat, bow your head in public and thank God for the food you're about to receive. When you're walking around in the school hallways, young people, why don't you shock some people and why don't your mouth be moving? I'm not talking about praying out loud and saying, "Oh God, bless my school today." I'm not talking about that. Why don't you learn to talk to God in your mind? Pray and ask God to help you with that test. Pray and ask God to give you the strength not to look at that. Pray and ask, talk to God everywhere. Everywhere. In your home, in your bedroom, out and about, on your job, in the schoolhouse, at the workplace, driving up and down the road. Talk to God. By the way, you say, well, God listened. He did when Paul and Silas prayed to him in jail in Acts 16:25. He did when Jonah prayed inside of a whale in Jonah 2:1. He did when Paul prayed on the beach in Acts 21:5. He did when the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, prayed on a mountain in Matthew 14:23. He did to Nehemiah when Nehemiah prayed during a conversation in Nehemiah 2, verse 4. He did to the servant when the servant was sitting on the well searching for Isaac a bride in Genesis 24:11 to 14. He did to the boatmen when they were on the ship with Jonah in Jonah 1:14. And he listened to the Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, when He was hanging on the cross in Luke 23:42. Wherever we may be, God desires, no matter where His children are, God wants to hear from His children. Are you talking to Him everywhere you go? Should you have a quiet time in a closet? Yes, that's biblical. You ought to get alone and talk with God. But your prayer life should not start and stop there. Your prayer life should start there and carry you through the rest of the day. And everything that hits you and every place you go, you are talking to God all day long. That's the will of God. He wants to hear from His children. That's the place of prayer. Then number seven, we notice the purity in prayer. We see this in verse number eight. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Holy hands. The idea here is when we come to God in prayer,
We should come into his presence not defiled by sin, but rather in purity, in heart and in life. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 4. Don't turn to it for time's sake. But in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4 says this: Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Psalm 66, 18 says, If I regard an iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. See, God wants his children to come to him. There's no doubt about that. God wants his children to be supplicating before him, to be interceding before him, to just be praying and giving thanks. God desires his children to pray to him everywhere about every person, every man, all men, specifically kings and all those in authority. But God says, don't you forget something. When you come into my presence praying, you make sure you're pure. You make sure you're clean. Because it says in Psalm 66, 18 again, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, there are those, God forbid that anybody's listening to me tonight like this, but there are those who are living their own life, doing their own thing, and they know before God they're not clean. They know they're not. Why will they not do anything about it? I don't know. But I know this. There's going to come times in their life when they're going to need to get a prayer through. But if they're not clean, it won't make it past the ceiling. You listening? That's Bible. That's biblical. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Close to it, but no, I'm just kidding with you. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. I'm not asking tonight, are you perfect? I'm not asking that because nobody is. But what I'm asking is, do you have clean hands? Are your hands clean or dirty? So my hands are dirty, what's the big deal? The big deal is God's not going to listen to you and you pray. That's the big deal. I have to get a prayer through. Amen. I've got to be able to pray. I have to be able to pray. By the way, as I pray for you, do you not want to know that my prayers are being answered? Wouldn't you like to have a pastor that you know can pray? Is that what, listen, that's what you need, isn't it? And I'm telling you, before God, before the Lord, I'm not saying be like me, please understand my heart, but I believe my hands are clean. I don't know of one thing. I don't know of one thing that's standing between me and the Lord. I don't. God knows my heart. But every now and then something will show its face. Bow! What are you going to do with it? Go ahead. Go ahead. Wait a minute. I've got to be able to pray. I will say no to that. And I will say yes to the will of God. Because I want to lift up holy hands to him. And I want him, whenever I pray, I want him to say, shut up around here. My boy's talking to me. I want to hear him. Isn't that a blessed thought? I don't think the Lord would say shut up. Excuse me for that. I'm just trying to paint a picture in your mind. The purity in prayer. Then number 8, we see the prohibitions in prayer. Well, that's a big word, isn't it? But I had all P's, you understand, so I had to come up with something. The prohibitions to prayer. Look at verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Look at it. Without wrath and doubting. Without wrath and doubting. Let's separate these two. God says, here it is. I want you to pray everywhere about everything and all men. I want you to be supplicating before me, recognizing that you're insufficient, but that I can meet your needs. I want you to pray and just spend time with me. I want you to intercede on behalf of other people, and I want you to give me thanks everywhere. I want you to pray for all men, for kings and authority. I want you to pray with clean hands. But make sure as you pray, even with clean hands, you make sure that you stay away from two things, and that is number 1, wrath.
Don't you come to me with wrath in your heart. You know what the word wrath here carries the idea is? It's anger toward fellow men. It's bitterness. You're listening well tonight, and I appreciate it. Some people say, you don't understand what he did to me. You don't understand what they did to me. And wrath is in your heart. And God says, when you pray, don't come in wrath. By the way, you ever notice when you get angry and you go to God in prayer, you can't stay angry long? You ever notice that? I've gotten upset with things. I mean, something went wrong, and I'd get upset with it and say, I'm mad. And the Lord say, pray about it. And I'd start praying, talking to God, and before long I'd say, I'm from this to this. Well, Lord, I never thought of it that way. You cannot go to God angry very long. You can't do it. You say, wait a minute. Let me say this right here. He did me wrong. She did me wrong. Look what happened there. And God says, when you come to me in prayer, you point to that. I point to the cross. Look what you did there. You can't stay bitter very long that way. It's impossible. Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. He didn't say what for. He just said, if you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. The Bible goes on to tell us in the book of Matthew, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in Matthew 5:23-24, it says this. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Does God want us to offer gifts? Sure he does. But he says, if your heart's not right or somebody's not right with you, he said, leave your gift there, come back and give it later, but it's not time for that. You have to make something right first. The Bible's practical, isn't it? Simple. But how many people refuse to do that right there? He said, I will not forgive. And you cannot pray either. Oh, you can pray, but God's not going to hear you. God's not going to listen to you. And look here, when spiritually speaking, the rug is pulled out from under you, and it happens to every one of us at different times in life, when the rug is pulled out from under you and you are flat on your back and you realize you need God, you'll wish to God that you'd listen to me tonight. It's not worth it, folks. You say, this is what I'm dealing with. Get rid of it. Because God wants to hear you talk to him, and he wants to listen to you, and he wants to answer you. But he's saying, listen, if you come to me in prayer, I've got some prohibitions. I've got some things that I will not tolerate. I will not tolerate wrath. I will not tolerate you being angry with a fellow person. I won't tolerate it. And he gives a second thing. He says, without doubting. This is lack of faith in God. And when you pray, the Lord wants you to have faith in him. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible tells us over in the book of James, chapter number 1, verses 5 and 6, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Get this. When we pray, the Lord wants no sin in our life, no hatred in our heart, and no doubt in our mind. Do you see that? No sin in our heart, no sin in our life, no hatred in our heart, and no doubt in our mind. You ever gone to God in prayer, not really believing he's going to answer you? But you're shocked if he does? What a privilege. Now listen to me. I'm just about through here. What a privilege to be able to pray. Amen. Anytime, any place, about anything. God wants us praying always, everywhere, for all people. Now I have several questions to ask you as I'm closing. Please don't close your Bible. Please look right up here at me. I want to ask you some questions. Number one, is prayer the number one priority in your life? Soul winning is. You've missed it. Now, folks, listen, God has given me a heart for souls, and I praise Him for it. But I cannot be an effective soul winner without prioritizing prayer first and asking God to empower me and strengthen me and give me the power of His Spirit. You see what I'm saying? Question number two, are you seeking God's help? Recognizing your own insufficiency. That's supplications, you understand? Question number three, are you spending time at His feet? Question number four, are you interceding for others? This is a lot of information, I know that, but I trust something will hit you. Question number five, are you giving thanks for what God has done for you? Question number six, are you praying for authority in your life? Are you praying for those that God has placed in authority over you? We all have them. Do you have peace and quietness in the midst of turmoil? Are you pleasing the Lord with your prayer life? Are you praying everywhere, not just there? Are you pure as you pray? And are you free from wrath and doubting? This is like a manual on prayer, don't you see that? 1 Timothy chapter 2, what verses? And may God drive them on our hearts. Amen? Let's pray together, please. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for the privilege of being able to open Your Word again. I thank You for the privilege of teaching us about prayer. And Father, would You drive this home in our hearts? God, I don't believe any of us pray like we should. But what a thought we get from Your book here. Help me to guide, lead, and direct this invitation. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. The ladies are beginning to play through softly. I always start with this, and that is, do you know for sure that heaven's your home? You understand that God does not hear the prayers. At least He doesn't commit to hear the prayers of anybody but His children. If you're not a Christian, He's not promised to listen to you and hear you. Maybe you're sitting there tonight and you say, Jody, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'm not even sure there's been a time in my life when I've confessed my sin to Jesus Christ. I'm not sure there's been a time in my life when I've asked Him to come into my heart and forgive my sins. But I know this, I know that there's coming a day in my life when I'm going to need to pray. And I realize that I need to be in His family first. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. I realize it's all home folk tonight, I believe. And what a crowd we have. God bless you. But you may be sitting there tonight and you say, Jody, I'm not going to go back down these thoughts with you. I've already asked you. But have you say, Jody, there's an area in my prayer life. It may be the priority or maybe the supplications or a certain part interceding, praying for authority, or might be the pureness or whatever the case may be. You say, somewhere in this message, God spoke to me and He's speaking to me about it. And you say, this is what He's speaking to me about. It may just be spending time at His feet. I don't know what it is, but you say, Jody, there's something in the message that's getting my attention. And you say, would you pray for me? There's something in this message for me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air, please? All over this auditorium, would you raise your hand in the area of prayer? Sure. That's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. If you raise your hand about that, I'd like you to look this way. The reason I say this is because that's a lot of you, a lot of you. And I don't know what you're looking at me about. It might be the Lord's just encouraging you to do more of the same. I don't know. It's none of my business. Why don't you start whatever it is tonight? And I feel so unworthy. I feel so unworthy to preach on prayer. Because I'm not there where I need to be either. May the Lord drive it in our hearts. Amen. It's what our marriages need. It's what our homes need. It's what this church needs. May the Lord help us. We ask every one of you to respond. Every one of you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Father, take it, use it.
in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place now? As Brother Gary sings, would you leave your place?
There you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray in the name of Christ our Savior? Did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray. When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray.
If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. What number is that, Brother Gary?
361.
Take your hymnal, turn to page 361. There's a great need. I want you to look around you. Isn't this a great crowd tonight?
Amen.
But you know what I see? God bless you for being here. I mean it. I can see chairs in the aisles. I can see the balcony packed. You say, will it ever happen? If the Lord wants it to. How are we going to get there? We've got to get a hold of God. That's how we're going to get there. Amen. No doubt about it. Let's sing that last verse, Brother Gary. Let's sing it together, please.
When sore trials came upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, Palm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Today, so in sorrow and in gladness, don't forget to pray.
God bless you. You just remain standing just a moment here. We have some children coming tonight. That's always a blessing, isn't it? Amen. Miss Annis, do you have one right here? And We'll go ahead and get started here, then that'll give her a little bit of time to fill the other one out. Good. Good. All right. Seth and Alexandria Street. I'd like you all to stand, if you all want to stand with them. And Miss Annis, if you want to stand with them there too. They have both received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they are wanting to come by baptism into our church. And it's a great thing. We're thrilled. I'm not sure about your mom. I'm just kidding with you. Beautiful family, folks. We're glad you're here. Amen. And this is thrilling. This is thrilling. We have a baptismal service next Sunday morning. Okay? That'll be great. And for the baptismal class, if you all want to go with them down there, that would be good. Okay? Because it's Nathan Forum teaching it, and you know, we won't keep an eye on him. You tell him I said that, will you? That's good. Oh, I will, she says. Good. Could I have a motion that we receive these two into our church by baptism? Brother Leroy, second. Brother Stover, all in favor, raise your hand high and say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Don't you dare, right? God bless you. We're thrilled. We're thrilled for you. And we'd like for you just to stand up here, and some of our folks will come by and greet you kids and
That'll be good. Okay? Have a great week, folks. Listen, fill your pockets with gospel tracts. Lord willing, we'll see you Wednesday night. And spend time in prayer. May the Lord make His prayer warriors around here. Amen? Amen. Very good. I'm going to ask Brother G.S. Simpson, if you wouldn't mind, sir, to dismiss us in prayer, please.